This episode of The Can Man Show is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audiblepodcast.com/canman. There's over 75,000 titles to choose from for your Zune, iPod, iPhone, or MP3 player.
Yo, VIP, let's kick it. Welcome to the Can Man Show.
Live on location at Central Quarter Gamers.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Can Man Show. I am Chad, the Can Man Canfield. Joining me tonight, roundtable discussion live on location at Central Quarter Gamers. At Central Quarter Gamers. Woo! All right. Is Corey Osborne. How you doing, Corey?
I'm doing all right, thanks.
Great. And Corey Jordan.
Cock and balls.
Great. And Ryan Schoenhard.
Hey, everybody.
And across the room with his group of gamers is Dan Alpers. He'll be joining us a little bit later, off and on. Right now he's playing a game of Magic the Gathering, which you could be doing too next week at this time. I don't know, what time is it? I don't know, about 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock Central Standard Time at Central Quarter Gamers. There'll be a link in the show notes and on how you can get involved. And you know, that's also a place where you can bring your games for the Games for Troops thing that he is doing. And understand doing well.
But so, after we mentioned it on the show the last time, they now have enough copies of Viva Pinata.
Yes, they have met their Viva Pinata quota.
Oh, I need to bring it.
No more copies of Viva Pinata needed.
So you can bring regular pinatas.
Right, but not Viva Pinatas.
No, if you bring regular pinatas, make sure they're filled with candy and not porn. Because they'll never make it across the border.
Not porn or contraband.
Exactly.
Or IEDs.
Yeah, so that reminds me of a story. The whole back in Desert Storm, my brother. It's his birthday today, by the way. My brother TJ.
Hey, TJ.
Ted, for those of you who don't know that. Anyway, when he was back in Desert Storm, I got this letter from him with a blank check. And he had a list of stuff that you were not supposed to have there, but he wanted me to send to him, which included adult magazines, and included bottles of liquor, a blow up doll, anything sex toy related that I could get my hands on. And send to him because he was going to turn around and sell it to his fellow soldiers or fellow Marines. So, yeah. But that was back in, you know, when the other Bush was in office. And
it was before the USO had control of what went across.
Exactly.
Back in the good old days.
Back in the good old days.
Because I remember my uncle was over in the first Iraq War, and we used to go to the grocery store and buy those little boxes, the care packages, right? Yeah. And then you could fold them at the store and fill them with stuff and just could take them to the post office and they'd send them over.
Yeah. Yeah. So he said he never got it, but I think I spent like a grand.
Oh my God.
Wow.
He sent me a blank check. I mean, what do you expect me to do?
You did the
spend $50 on stuff for him and buy a new flat screen.
Yeah.
Well, back then
they didn't have flat screens back then.
The projection TVs,
but yeah, those back then
back then those were the things.
Yeah. They were awful. I mean, I really loved mine, but they were awful.
The Sony XBR series? Hell yes.
XBR.
Hell's yes.
Hell's yes. So we're in the basement of a church right now, which just makes it a little bit weird for us.
Kind of waiting for several of the people at the table to catch fire.
Exactly. Yeah. Burst into
flames.
You know
what? I was at a Catholic wedding a few weeks ago, and if I didn't burn up there, I'm not burning up here.
Those are fun.
Oh,
it's
Lord.
Like exercise.
It was the short service.
Oh, that's good.
So.
Stand up, sit down, at least, you know, just only four times instead of 50.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many Hail Marys and how many rosaries did you have to do?
I'm not Catholic, so.
Oh, okay.
So you just got to hang out.
Yeah.
So you didn't chant with everyone else?
Watch the other aerobic.
Oh, no.
You're not a sheep.
Aerobicide.
No. I'm totally a sheep.
Eyes.
I get in there, Hail Mary, full of grace, et cetera, and so forth.
No.
Yeah.
Nice.
I feel wrong if, you know, seriously, if I'm at another religion's service. I feel wrong doing things.
Dude, I totally go to mosques occasionally and just kneel randomly. I face the wrong way just to piss everyone off.
Nice. I go. And you draw a picture of whatever god that is, Muhammad. Or
Muhammad. He's not really,
he's not really a god.
He's not a god.
He's a prophet.
He's a prophet, yes.
But you don't draw a picture
of him. Please don't kill Chad.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, we sort of like the guy.
Yeah. So.
I don't care for him.
Me?
No, Muhammad.
Oh, okay. Well, it's the most common name in the world, according to McLovin.
That's funny. That's
true.
I thought it was Chin.
No, it was Muhammad.
But how do you know if they're talking about a person or a body part?
No, I mean, the Tokyo's... No, not Tokyo. It's
China.
China. Shanghai. Bangkok.
I don't know. There's
more chins in Bangkok and then people that live in Canada.
You know, we're all kind of big guys. We got more chins at this table than a Chinese phone book.
There you go.
Ooh.
Wow. That was...
Isn't Bangkok in Thailand?
That was what movie was that from? I don't remember.
Bangkok?
That's in Thailand, I think.
Is it?
That was I think you're talking about Austin Powers movies.
Hong Kong.
Really?
Right.
No, I'm not talking about Taiwan.
Hong Kong.
I've got more chins than a Chinese phone book.
The Peking is what I'm talking about.
I thought that was from an 80s
Beijing,
movie, too.
Peking?
It may be.
Where the Olympics
looking
was
at?
Held?
Yeah. Okay.
The main capital?
Okay.
Boston?
Yes.
Boston, China?
I love Boston.
Boston, China?
The band.
Oh, okay.
I got lost in China. So they're quite good. Chinatown in Boston.
Oh, they were.
Have you really?
Yeah, that was kind of scary.
Cool. But is there a Boston town in China? That's
Styx
what
is still
know.
Together.
Probably not.
They're playing the fair this year.
Yes, they really? Are.
Yes, they are.
Styx is playing
that.
The fair?
Oh,
yes.
My God.
Which fair?
The Jones County Fair.
The Jones County Fair.
Yes.
Yep. And if I were able to go out in public with people, I'd go.
And
yesterday.
There's a whole bunch of 80s groups coming. Isn't like Joan Jett or somebody coming?
Is she bringing her girlfriend?
Yes, I think Joan Jett is. I think they've got a couple of good country acts, and then they've got like an American Idol.
Well, there's Alan Jackson, Lady Antebellum. Those are the two big country acts. Then they've got Styx.
Styx. I got a story about Styx. Go, keep going.
I'm pretty sure it's Joan Jett.
I think you're right, or the Heartbreakers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's one other big 80s band that's coming that I'd love to see. But
no,
so is Dennis DeYoung
Daughtry.
Still in charge of... Styx? Is he still the lead singer for Styx, or do they have a new guy?
I don't know.
I thought he left.
Excellent question. I thought he separated himself from Styx and is doing his own thing.
Yeah, unfortunately, because he has got the most very beautiful voice. Not the most beautiful voice, but I love his voice,
personally, I think the most beautiful voice would be Ozzy Osbourne, which is weird.
Yeah, okay.
It's
is
very
the lead singer of Styx?
Yes. No, not at all.
I could totally hear him singing Mr. Roboto.
You know, I could totally hear him
come
singing
sail away.
Come Sail Away. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Alice Cooper, though. I like Alice Cooper. I think he's got a good voice.
You know, he actually changed his name to Alice Cooper because that was the band name originally.
Oh,
he used to be someone else entirely.
But he's like 741 years old, and he's still...
Well, he's got a painting in his attic that ages instead of him.
Is that how that works?
Nice.
Like Clark.
I remember, like, the first time I saw Wayne's World, and he is... You know, in there in that movie.
Yeah.
And he looks old in that. And that was what, early 90s, 92 or 93.
Right.
Yeah.
And I can't even imagine what parts of his face he's had replaced since then.
Well, I mean, Abe Vigoda is still alive.
There's
no telling.
Abe is still alive. So yesterday at breakfast, we're sitting around the table and Zeta starts singing a song. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I got a better song. And I start singing Chaka Khan. Okay, I started doing the Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan. I'll rock Chaka Khan. I want to love you because I feel for you. Anyway, so the song is really titled Feel For You by Chaka Khan. But I decided, you know what? My kids, I don't think they've ever heard it. My girls haven't. So I run downstairs and grab my Zune and throw Chaka Khan on there. And I just crank it. And then what song better to play right after Chaka Khan? Than Mr. Roboto by Styx.
Well,
can't.
Oh, see, that's
you
a guilty.
Follow up.
That's a guilty pleasure for me.
Yeah. So
if that's playing on the radio, I will stop and wait. I won't get out of the car until that song is done.
Yeah.
Remember, he's Kilroy. Spoiler alert. Sorry.
If you haven't heard the song by now, I don't. I mean, Jesus.
So anyway, so
sorry.
After that, we went to the. There's a big picture of Jesus on the wall, and Corey's apologizing.
Oz keeps apologizing to the picture of Jesus.
Nice. So we're at Theater Cedar Rapids, and Zoe's doing her last class, and we're waiting in the lobby for this little showcase performance that they do. Mm-hmm. And Zeta looks at me, and she goes, "Sing, Mr. Roboto. Sing, Mr. Roboto." I'm like, no, I'm not going to sing Mr. Roboto in the middle of the theater. I mean, people were paying to see me do it, then maybe, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but, yeah, so my
You've taken your clothes off in front of hundreds of people. But,
yeah.
You know, you won't sing Mr. Roboto.
No. No. So I'm not going to do it now either. No matter how much you pay me.
And it's your own show. I know. We don't give a crap.
I know.
Zeta made me find Chaka Khan on your Zune last
night. Oh, she did?
Yep.
Nice.
Yep.
She likes that song. She likes Mr. Roboto, and she likes Hello, I Love You from The Doors.
Oh, okay.
Good because case. It was on Glee the other last week or the week before.
Spoiler alert. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Spoiler alert.
You know, I gather 5 or 6 of them and watch them all.
Oh, you haven't watched
once.
Them? No. No, sorry.
I've since the last season ended, I haven't watched them.
Oh, man. It's pretty good. I mean, I'm not quite sure
I've got them
liking
on my video
where some of it's going.
I've heard a rumor Neil Patrick Harris is going to be on there.
Yeah,
yes. As
your brother
as Neil Patrick Harris or as
I don't know.
That'd be cool if he
How
was.
How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah. Probably not.
Actually, Barney. Yeah, it would be cool if he was. He does a lot of theater. Yeah.
I know he does, and he does a lot of musical theater specifically. Yeah. So he's a you know, I would love to have NPH on the show.
Yeah.
And you
all
know,
all of a sudden Dan's standing right behind me.
I could get you a lookalike.
Could you? My brother kind of looks a little bit like NPH.
Which one?
Todd.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
Not in the slightest.
Just a little bit.
No.
Are we really doing this here?
Yeah, we are. We are. So
just
Dan,
making sure.
Dan, while you're standing right there, why don't you hop on Ryan's mic a second? And Ryan, if you could
share
that.
I don't mind being a little bit close to Ryan. That's okay.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Put
Hello,
your arm
Ryan.
Around
Ryan.
Hello.
I missed you.
Yeah, so I see you've got your Soundwave shirt on.
Oh. Yes.
Very nice. I like
Soundwave
it.
Soundwave as a DJ.
Oh, he is a DJ.
Oh,
nice.
Got Ravage and
Laserbeak.
You have the third one?
No.
There's Laserbeak and Ravage. Ravage is on the DJ.
No Rumble.
Booth.
There's somebody inside there.
Oh.
Inside the compartment.
Inside the cassette tape compartment.
I guess.
I used to have all of them. He was my favorite.
Yep, me too.
So white
Dan,
and green,
Dan,
huh?
What, tell us a little bit about Central Corridor Games. And I know we've done this before, but since we're here, what's it about? And how do people get involved? And how do they come in? And what all do you do again?
Oh, geez. It's actually pretty easy. But for those of you that are interested in learning how to draft or playing Magic, or if you know how to draft and just want to draft with us, we are drafting every Sunday night at about 6 o'clock. The doors open at 5:30. Drafting is where
you drag
everybody...
closely behind the bike in front of you.
And when the bike falls apart, you must call Bicycle Repairman.
But when you're playing cards,
when you're drafting, what you do is you bring in $9, and that'll pay your way for the entire night. And you sit down at a table, where you're told, with 3 packs of cards. And when announced to open the pack, everybody opens their pack, you flip through, you find a card that you look like that looks like you would like to build a deck with it. Take that card out, pass your pack to the left. Now the guy to your right is going to pass his pack, 1 card short, to you. You will then take a card out of that pack. And eventually all the packs go through, you get all 15 cards in each pack dealt with, and then you build a card out of that stack of cards.
Wow, so everybody gets one. There's what, 15 cards in a pack?
Yeah, so everybody's walking away with 3 packs worth of product. What we do to determine the winner is we play 3 rounds. You play the best of 2 out of 3. And then at the end of the night, we look at the standings, and first place gets first pick of all the rares that were opened in those packs.
Cool.
So everybody will turn their rares back in at the end of the night, and the best rare that's sitting on the table is probably going to be pick 1.
I got another prize for you for your winner tonight.
Hey.
I got a pair of tickets to opening night of Still Life with Iris at Theater Cedar Rapids. That's that play I'm got a little part in.
You don't get your parts out or anything, do you, Chad?
No. No, in fact,
cool.
I got to try on part of my costume today. They did kind of the costume parade, and the 2 characters I play, one's called Flower Painter. Basically what I do is I paint all the flowers for the whole world at night while you're sleeping. That's the job of the flower painter. And then I also play the 2 roles. My favorite, I think, is Captain. Also, he's kind of a guy that was thrown away by the rulers of this land called Nocturno, and they go around collecting the best of everything. Everything they have to have is like the best. So if it's not the best, they get thrown away into this tunnel where I'm kind of the ruler of the tunnel. I am called Captain also. But Iris is the main character of the play, and everybody in the land of Nocturno stores their memories in what they call past coats. So instead of us storing our memories in our brain, they wear these jackets. That is where they actually store their past. So if they
lose your jacket,
you lose your memory. If you lose a button off your jacket, you lose part of your memory.
That's attached to that memory.
So you get a rip in your coat, and you lose part of your thoughts. So it's kind of a cool little story where this girl loses her coat, and she needs to find her way home, and ends up, you know, where Captain also is, and all over the place. And it's a really fun story if you've got kids, if you're an adult.
Family friendly.
It's the first family show back downtown since the flood. Wow. It's got a great cast. Everybody in it is phenomenal. I just feel so lucky to be working with the cast that I'm working with. The director, Leslie Sharper, she does a great, amazing job. So, I mean, it's really coming together, and it opens in 2 weeks, May 14th through the 23rd. For tickets, you can go to the website, theatercr.org, or call 366-8591. But I'm going to give away a pair of tickets to the preview night, which is the 13th, to the winner of your draft tonight.
Excellent. Thank you, Chad.
Hey, no problem.
All right. Well, I got to go play, so I'll check back with you shortly, gents.
Cool.
So if you have not had a chance to go to the new theater downtown, the new old theater, the rebuilt theater.
Iowa Theater Building.
Downtown, the Iowa Theater Building. If you didn't see the producers, or the producers wasn't really a family show,
right,
per se.
Or Proof.
Or
the
Proof,
last show.
Really.
Yeah.
If you haven't had a chance to get down there, go. The theater is beautiful. The new lobby is awesome.
Yeah. Then there's the there's the little lounge area that's outside the lobby. It's just phenomenal. Yeah. But the set was up today. We got to see the set for the first time, and it's really puts a lot of, up until this point, we've just been kind of learning our lines and kind of getting where we need to be, the basic placement of where we're going to be while we're delivering our lines, blocking it out, and really starting to learn our characters and where the story's got to progress. It's just a fun experience, and I really hope that you bring your families down and your kids, and it's well worth it. And I'm not just saying it because I'm in it. It really is a good show. So, yeah.
So speaking of blocking, I got to tell you this because you'll get a kick out of it. My best friend Ian, who you know.
Yeah, Ian Austin.
His little brother got married.
Aaron got married?
Yeah, not this last weekend, but the weekend before.
Really?
Yes.
And okay.
He married a wonderful girl. But so we it was at this big old church in Marion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we get up and they're making a stand in the lines, and you're stand across from your partner, blah blah blah. And the pastor's wife walks up on the stage and hands us blocking dots to put on the floor so that when we march in, we know
right where
we're
you're
standing.
Going. That's awesome.
And I was like, "Oh, this is brilliant. I've been in a ton of weddings and I have never they're like, well, just look across and make eye contact with your partner, and that's how you know where you're." No, she gave us blocking dots, and they were different colors for the men and the women, and the best man and the maid of honor had a different color than everybody else.
That's awesome.
It was like,
that's good,
brilliant.
Right there,
yeah.
So they just put them on the floor where you need to stand.
Right, and the dais is raised, so if you're sitting in the pews, you can't see the dots on the floor. But they blocked us all out. It was great. I was like, yeah, this is awesome.
That's awesome. I they were kind of reminding me when we were talking about blocking and stuff. I watched a really funny movie this weekend, and if you're an actor that has ever done any sort of acting whatsoever, in like community theater or commercials or little bit parts and stuff, and never been able to break it into a movie or whatever, Hamlet 2. It was hilarious. It kind of centers around this actor that really isn't that good of an actor, and he did all these commercials, and ended up teaching in a high school in Tucson drama classes, and then he was losing his funding, and in order to better himself and to try and get his funding, he puts on Hamlet 2, a story he writes, which is the sequel to Hamlet. But, yeah, of course, in Hamlet, everybody dies. Spoiler alert. So
again, it's one of those things of a vintage that if you don't know Hamlet by now,
you're probably not going to.
Yeah.
Yeah, if my grandma did. Yeah, anyway. So
don't go there.
I'm not going to go there. Never mind. Never mind. But Hamlet 2, it's rated R for a reason. I mean, it's not for the kids, but it is really funny. I had a fun time. It's a musical. One of the songs, Hamlet 2 is a musical at the end of the movie. And one of the songs they do is Rock Me, Sexy Jesus. Rock me, rock me, rock me, sexy Jesus.
Isn't hilarious. Jesus one of the characters?
I was going to say.
Yeah, he's one of the characters in the musical. So but it's sexy Jesus, not just Jesus. He's sexy Jesus.
Well, it's better than Buddy Jesus.
Right, Buddy Christ.
Not really.
Buddy Christ. So this is something in the theaters or something you rented or what?
It was on cable. It was on HBO, Showtime. You probably can get it on Netflix. Hamlet 2, if you get a chance to see it, very funny. Steve Coogan, he's a British comedian.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He does a lot of stuff. I think he's pretty much the only name that I recognize in the cast. But, you know, there's a couple guys I've seen, like, bit part actors that were, like, on The X-Files and that kind of stuff. But for the most part, it's just that Steve Coogan guy and good stuff. Good stuff.
Cool.
I've forgotten about that one. I'd seen Hamlet it 2. A while ago. And
yeah, it's been. I think it came out like 07 or 08.
Yeah.
But speaking of movies, this week is the 30th anniversary of Star Wars Empire Strikes Back.
Let's have a moment of silence.
Okay. A moment of silence?
That's called dead air.
Yeah. No, what you need to do is to think
back what Empire meant to us.
Dub in the C-3PO beep sequence right there.
R2-D2 beep.
C-3PO could do some beeping, I guess.
C-3PO could,
but those been a long
those mech... There's,
but
droid.
So
droids.
Empire's 30 years old.
Trademark, but
I have a. I mean, I guess it's hard for me to picture that. It came out when I was 7, so I guess I am 37.
Yep.
But Empire Strikes Back, man. So how did Empire change? Star Wars impacted me personally very hugely. I mean, it was just a big deal for me. And I remember the first time I saw a picture of Yoda, you know, because I didn't get it. We were poor. I didn't get to go see it in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
I had to wait to video to see it. But when I finally, you know, all my friends had Yoda t-shirts and Yoda things and Boba Fett stuff. I mean, because really this was the first time that mainstream, Boba Fett showed up in the holiday special cartoon, but this is the first time you really got to see him and hear him and,
we both made a face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the holiday special, the only thing redeeming of that holiday special is the Boba Fett cartoon.
I think.
And it wasn't that great, but
the 900 call that Chewie's father makes, that's kind of redeeming.
Oh, that was pretty funny.
Oh, yeah. Was it
on a video?
Scratchy or whatever?
Scratchy, yeah. The 900 call Scratchy makes, too. Yeah, that's
good.
Yeah.
Good, clean.
Yeah, well, it was the 70s. Everything was dirty in the 70s.
Wow. It was dirtier, and it was a better time.
Yeah.
But here, I am slightly younger than you.
Yeah.
7 years younger.
Yeah.
Almost a decade, Chad.
Almost.
I'm almost a decade younger than you.
Yeah.
Wow.
But let's talk about old.
So what, you were zero when Empire?
And then we'll get back to Star Wars.
Okay.
So my aunt and uncle live right up the street from me.
Right.
Okay. And I turned 30 this year, and everybody always said, "Don't you know that you're 30, do you feel old?" And the answer is no, I didn't. Okay. But I pulled out of my driveway going to work last week, and my uncle, his SUV pulled up to the intersection the other way. And I thought, oh, there's my Uncle Charlie going to work. My nephew, or my cousin, was driving. And I was there for his birth.
Wow.
I saw him sitting behind the wheel of that car, and I thought, damn, I'm old.
My oldest child is 22.
Yeah.
So my youngest brother is 16 years younger than me, so I have... Every time something happens to him, like he's in college right now and he's just turning 21, so it's like he's going through all the landmark dates and stuff like that, and it's like I'm getting old.
Yeah.
So how did Empire reflect affect you guys? Did it affect you at all?
Yes.
Okay. Elaborate, you dick.
That was fun. I love that movie because the bad guys won, in essence.
Yeah.
And the whole Star Wars thing changed how they make movies.
Right.
In the beginning, they always, before Star Wars, they always put the credits at the front.
Right.
And you have to sit through that crap. And then, oh, finally the movie. But...
And now we can leave.
Yeah. We don't have to see who played Boba Fett. We want to.
Jeremy
we
Bullock.
Then there you go.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Here's the thing, though. I've been somewhat of a sci-fi geek since I was a little kid.
Right.
Very little. And I grew up on Star Trek.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. This is science fiction in general, right? The 60s and 70s sci-fi up to when Star Wars came out was always a social commentary.
Right.
Right? Star Trek was huge into social commentary. The original series, you know, the first Black Kiss, and there was an episode, the interracial kiss, I should say.
Right.
There was an episode where, watching it today, you can just tell it's an anti-war commentary about the Vietnam War.
Oh, yeah.
Every piece of sci-fi, Dune.
Oh, yeah, the Fremen.
The 1984. All right. That stuff was a social commentary. Yeah. Star Wars was not.
No.
You can pick up some of those themes if you watch it a few times. But Star Wars was an action movie in space, and damn it, that was awesome.
No, Star Wars was a kung fu movie in space.
Right.
It was a fantasy.
Swashbuckler.
It was science fantasy.
He basically took the tropes from your kung fu movies and translated them into space, which was awesome. It had never been done before, and it probably won't ever get done again because everyone will say, look at that, they're trying to copy Star Wars.
Right.
But that was really a sea change for science fiction.
I'm sorry, I never saw
that. When Star Wars came out.
Yeah.
Right? Because then after that, you have Alien, and you have all of these science fiction or science fantasy, whatever you want to call it, movies around action as opposed to...
Trying to say something about life.
Like
right.
2010 or 2001.
Yeah.
2010.
Right.
And that was just huge.
Right. I mean, I could definitely see that. I mean, it was just for the sole purpose of entertainment. Yeah. He wasn't being preachy in his message.
No. Right.
You know?
Not that the other forms of science fiction are bad for doing that.
Right.
But yeah, it was written in such a way that you could always see the parallels. There was always a social aspect to...
I gotta disagree slightly, because Hoth, definitely global cooling, climate change.
Oh, shut
and then
up.
Dagobah,
in the
global 70s? Warming. Oh, yeah.
No. 70s
was big.
80s.
That was a big thing in the 70s was global cooling. Everyone was afraid it was another ice age was coming. Now, global warming, global climate change.
And
yeah,
brother and sister
changing.
Kissing, and, you know.
Oh,
incest.
God, that was...
Yeah, anti-incest, totally.
Yeah, he's right.
Except for you wouldn't have known that at the time. So.
Dysfunctional families.
Right.
I mean, there's nobody more dysfunctional than the Skywalker.
But it was
the
entertainment.
It was a
soap opera in space, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what Star Wars
and
was.
What, yeah. Their mom died because her heart was broken?
Oh, shut up.
Well, that didn't happen until our kids were kids.
We have billions of dollars of medical equipment here, and her heart is breaking? What are you people, idiots?
Yeah, nice. She died of a broken heart.
Okay,
spoiler alert.
Robot chicken.
I am. Dr. Ball.
Yeah. Nice.
Get on your knees, mother. Anyway.
Go ahead, Chaka-boom.
No, I stopped.
I know you did.
You should add a bagok there just in case.
Let's all get on our knees, mother.
We did that one episode. Who does that?
Unnecessary censorship.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Were you there when we
Jimmy
did that?
Kimmel.
No,
Jimmy Kimmel, yeah.
It's hilarious.
But here's the other thing. There are really major worldwide two franchises that live on to this day that are that old. Star Trek and Star Wars.
Bond.
Okay.
Bond.
Yeah, James Bond.
Yeah,
well,
they're on there like 30th movie.
I don't consider
something.
Bond a sci-fi.
Oh, I didn't know we were just talking about sci-fi.
I kind of do.
Oh,
it's definitely an action movie,
genre?
But
okay,
yeah.
I mean,
but in
some
that,
of the technology is scientific. It's more fantasy, but
yeah,
it's not true sci-fi.
No,
I mean, there's no robots.
It takes place in the present day, you know. But of the big sci-fi trends that have come in the past, say, 60 years, there are really only two that live on.
Yeah.
In any sort of global fame.
Yeah,
I don't understand why Ice Pirates didn't carry on.
Oh.
Space Herpes.
So
great.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
That's on my awesome list for my movies on my videos.
Well, and I think they killed Flash Gordon in the 80s.
Well,
that...
talking about the social commentary thing, you're totally right as far as like a lot of the sci-fi. I mean, when they went back and remade The Day the Earth Stood Still, I sat through it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was good, but it was a social commentary on how we're if we don't stop killing the planet.
The original one was also social commentary.
Exactly.
The original one made sense. The new one, not so much.
Well, it does
if you don't
a little
stop
bit.
Killing the planet, we're going to kill you. What?
The difference is when they make
Start
these
over.
Remakes,
reboot.
They say, what do we need to say? And then they write the movie around that, right?
Yeah. there's a problem in L.A.
It's called a lack of originality.
Yeah.
They have a story they want to tell, and the social commentary gets wrapped into the fabric of the story. Right. And
you could almost say that's one of the reasons why the new Star Wars aren't as good, because if you do watch those ones and think about it, there is a lot of social commentary in there.
I think part of the other
there's a lot more.
Anti-Bush era.
Yeah.
George threw out what he made his money on and tried to say something.
That's a lot of it, but the other part, at least for me,
and pod racing,
is that they tried to expand the audience.
Yeah.
And when you already have a brand that is as pristine as Star Wars is,
mm-hmm. Space Kung Fu, baby.
You don't do that. Right.
Well, you do.
The kids are going to come anyway.
The kids are coming.
I mean, you got lightsabers.
But people won't write a character like Jar Jar Binks.
Well, somebody did clearly.
But you know what I mean.
We put Jar Jar Binks in there to get the kids.
Right.
You didn't need to put Jar Jar Binks in there to get the kids.
No,
they were coming anyway.
Yeah. Right. There is no need to change the scope of Star Wars.
But if you think about it in the context of classic literature, that's kind of where Star Wars gets its basis, a lot of it. Not just Kung Fu films, but he pulled from
Campbell.
Lots of different sources, mythology and whatnot. Mm-hmm. You always have to have a fool in the story.
But and there wasn't one in the first three.
In the first three, R2-D2 and C-3PO were the fools.
Yeah, they were.
They were the best characters in the damn world.
They were the hidden fortress, C-3PO was the fool.
I mean,
they really broke the tension. That's what they're there for.
But Jar Jar was the fool. He was the one that ended up pinning the whole giving control to the Emperor. Mm-hmm. You know, him standing up for the Emperor and being the guy in the Senate saying, I'd like to nominate him to be the emperor. It all falls on Jar Jar's shoulder. Spoiler alert. But
you're supposed to say that first.
Here's another one. Palpatine's the emperor.
Yeah, Palpatine's the emperor. But last night...
Hey, wasn't he also a Sith?
Darth Vader's Luke's dad.
Oh, my God.
What?
Holy hell. I got to go back and
watch those movies.
Yeah, the Force
is based on little microscopic organisms that live in blood.
Last night.
That's just something we told people to screw with them. Sorry, that was from Pink 5, which if you haven't seen Pink 5, it's a
Check
Star
it
Wars spoof done by Chris Hannell, or partly done by Chris Hannell. It's awesome.
And a group of people from California, and they had access to Lucasfilm archives to pull props and stuff. Very good stuff. Last night, Ryan and I watched Empire.
Yep.
Together.
Made our wives sit and watch it, too.
Yeah. My wife was on Facebook the whole time, but...
Lori was kind of sleeping.
And your wife brought some brownies, Bosque brownies.
Yeah, she brought... Over Christmas, I got the Wookiee cookbook from my brother and sister-in-law, so we finally opened it up and made some stuff out of it.
So going back to Empire a little bit here, and actually pulling the movie apart, they made some changes with the special editions that... And after the, not really the special edition, but the DVD release, after Revenge of the Sith came out, they went back and added some scenes or adjusted some scenes that I really didn't care for, and I know you don't care for either.
In Star Wars or Empire?
Empire. Well, both, really. All three.
Empire's not too bad.
The Empire, there's two scenes that bug me.
Which
two things. Well, not really scenes because it happens in more than one scene. Putting in Tamil Morrison's voice over the one that they used in Boba Fett's
original voice.
Number two, the Emperor scene when he reveals... That Luke is Anakin Skywalker's son.
Yeah, when he's talking to Darth Vader on the.
Yeah, when Darth Vader gets called to meet with the Emperor over the hologram thing.
It's just blocky.
It's number one. The scene moves really, really slow, and it slows the movie way down. The original scene was much better done, and if you have your kids go back and watch the movies, they don't know that Darth Vader is Luke's father. You know, it's kind of like when...
You've got that moment where you find out in Cloud City.
Yeah. Exactly, but they ruined that moment by adding that scene, and that kind of ticked me off.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't even flow well. I mean, it was poorly written. It doesn't flow, the
it's
conversations.
It's 5 minutes too long,
that scene. And it was done to tie Sith in the prequels in with the new ones. And luckily, hopefully in October, there's this guy... who is going back and doing the
revisited
versions of Star Wars and Empire. Adiwan. And Empire Strikes Back should be out in October. He played a really cruel trick on April 1st, said that his hard drive died and crashed and he lost all his movie and he wasn't going to do it anymore. I fell for that hook, line, and sinker. Wow. But so with that one, he's going to keep the best of the special editions and the best parts of the old ones and
Radio dramas and mix it all into one fan cut of Empire. If you have not seen the Star Wars New Hope Revisited,
it is
it is amazing.
There are moments when you're literally in the show notes.
Sure, I'm sure we can find it somewhere.
Talk to me if you want a copy. Just send me a DVD.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. We do not charge anybody for it. If you bought a copy,
you're not supposed to buy them.
You're not.
Yeah.
But it is the most amazing cut of Star Wars I've ever seen.
In there where we saw, we knew it was coming, and what came was so much better that we all shouted the exact same expletive at the stream.
Holy!
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And I'm just sitting back laughing because I knew it was coming. So
I love how they use the different audio, the different music from the different movies. When they did the sequence between Ben and Darth Vader, the fight sequence, and how much more intense it was than the original cut of the film.
Or even at the beginning when the Carillion Corvette, Leia's ship, is getting attacked. You hear alarms going off in the background and somebody's voice over the intercom, and that part came from the radio dramas.
Oh yeah,
and it's not in there, and it adds. I mean, it's just a little thing, but it adds. And then they recut the scene with Luke and Ben where he's explaining who his dad was, or telling him lies about who his dad was and stuff, and just kind of recut it a little bit so it flows a little bit better, makes a little more sense, and just Darth Vader's lightsaber is not pink anymore; it's red. The most important one for me is Han shoots first.
Shoots first, Greedo dies.
Yeah, Greedo. Actually, Han shoots, Greedo dies.
There
is no shooting first.
Luke's Skywalker's lightsaber doesn't look like it has epilepsy anymore.
or it's not teal anymore either, it's blue.
It used to jump out and just dance around. The cartoonist was having a bad week that
week. Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Maybe the cartoonist had epilepsy.
Maybe he did.
I mean, the guy spent like 2 years doing just the one movie, and he spent 2 years doing Empire and stuff. So it's
wow.
But on top of that, there's rumors now that there's going to be within the year or so a special version of special edition of all the movies from Lucasfilm, packaged in a 6 DVD set. It's supposed to have a lot of the extra scenes that were never put in. I would imagine Luke meeting with
Jabba. That was put in.
In the first one with Biggs before Biggs takes off for the rebellion. Just all of those. It's going to be cleaned up and probably on Blu-ray. So
nice.
We'll finally get high definition versions.
So happy birthday, Empire Strikes Back.
The Force will be with you.
The Force is with me. Let me tell you, the Force can be with you, too. For you, the listeners of The Can-Man Show, our sponsor, Audible.com, is offering a free audiobook download with a free 14-day trial to give you a chance to check out their service. This week, with it being the 30th anniversary of Star Wars Empire Strikes Back, what better download to choose from for this week for my recommendation than Star Wars The Empire Strikes Back original radio drama? That's right, the original radio drama from 1981. National Public Radio did an adaptation of the Star Wars Empire Strikes Back, and it is narrated by Mark Hamill, Anthony Daniels, Billy Dee Williams, John Lithgow, just to name a few of the big, big, big names. A lot of the original voices of the Star Wars universe in there, even some that were not actually in there. The guy who does the voice of Han Solo, Perry King, is actually doing the voice in the radio dramas, but it is excellent. One of the best, most fun Star Wars experiences. It could be yours. Just for doing this. Now, normal price on Audible.com is $41.97, but you can get it as your free book or pick from any of their 75,000 titles. Seriously. Now, to take advantage of this offer, you go to audiblepodcast.com/canman. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/canman. Just enter that in. They're going to ask for some basic information so you can start your free trial. Check it out. And right now, here's a free sample of it just so you can hear how awesome this is.
Hey, wait up.
Hello, Luke.
Glad I caught you. I was wondering how you were getting along. I haven't seen much of you lately.
Well, we're trying to pull things back together. Everyone's been so busy.
Yeah, me too. That's why I told 3PO and R2 to stay close to you. You know, help out when they could.
You told them to help me?
Well, they're glad to do it. I mean, they used to belong to my uncle, but they sort of belong with us both now.
I guess so.
Leia, I'm not due to go back outside for a while yet.
Hey, is this a staff conference?
I was wondering if you had a little time.
Well,
maybe
Luke, I really have to see you about some things that.
Hey, Luke.
Hello, Han. Hi, Chewie.
Where'd the general go?
Well, he was headed over to the communications.
Never mind. Her overwhelmingly highnessness here will do.
Now what, Han?
Have me and Chewie been pulling our weight around here or not?
Han, what's wrong with you? Nobody ever said that you and Chewbacca were.
When the Millennium Falcon got shot up that last time around, I knew I'd have to wait in line for repairs, but they got the base's defensive generators in place now. Yeah, and like Chewie says, you know, the trenches and gun emplacements are all set up, too.
They still have to make sure the energy field is working and adapt the snow speeders to conditions on Hoth. Those just take priority right now, even over the Falcon.
Look, I need a starship that works. I got her messed up helping you guys. Is this what you get for helping a rebel?
Aren't you a rebel, Han? Or do you and Chewbacca still consider yourselves independent operators?
Han, most of the techs are dead on their feet, and they still can't keep up with all the work that has to be finished. I mean, before the base can be operational.
Luke, me and the Wookiee would have had the Falcon fixed already by ourselves, except that I've been riding all over this snowball with you, pal, and this stupid, smelly, ornery tunt.
Those warning sensors have to be set in place, and you and Luke are the best riders we have.
I've heard all this before, if you remember.
Han, nobody twisted your arm to stay on. Aren't you the one who was always saying that a deal's a deal?
Well, are you saying it was part of the deal for the Falcon to be sitting there out of commission
you
whenever...
You see yourself full of energy, Captain Solo. Can't be much fun being out there in that freezing wind there.
So again, check it out at audiblepodcast.com/canman.
No, I'm hoping that they will get some Robert Ashburn books because...
Yeah, the Robert Ashburn books.
He is great.
He is. He's dead now, but... The Myth series.
Is he really?
Yeah, he died like 2 years ago, three years ago.
I did not know that.
That's why Linda Evans and Jody Lynn, well, it used to be Ashburn, but it's Jody Lynn Nye or whatever. Okay. His ex-wife took over finishing some of the series for him.
Oh, frowny face.
And he used to write, Robert Ashburn wrote the Myth Adventures series. Mm-hmm. He wrote the Time Scout series, Fool's Company with a PH, P-H-U-L-E, Bug Wars.
He loved the play on words.
Yes, very much so. But the Myth series, I would love to see that made into a movie.
Another Fine Myth.
Is the first book in the series.
Is the first book in the series.
I've never heard of it.
Myth Conceptions.
It is awesome.
I read a little interview or a little thing in the book notes, the writer's notes. When he wrote those books, he was watching old Bob Hope road films, mm-hmm. and kind of follows that Bob Hope's kind of style of comedy.
Yep. It's basically a fantasy, sci-fi weirdness thing where the main character's learning how to be magical. And
but he originally wanted to be a thief, and so he thought he would, you know, go live with this guy and become his apprentice. But at the same time, he still wanted to be a thief. He just basically was using this guy for food and a place to stay. Well, he does this, is showing Skeeve this big switcheroo, and once in a while magicians will play tricks on each other, especially their friends. Mm-hmm. So he summons this demon from another dimension.
Pervect.
Yeah, Pervect, named Oz.
Spelled A-H-Z, and yeah. That's important, because
right,
if you say O-Z, he knows.
Yes. Anyway, Oz, and he summons Oz, but his trick is he takes away Oz's powers when he summons him, and then he gets the guy gets assassinated.
He gets killed
right after Oz appears.
Oz is stuck.
So this big green scaly monster with great big teeth and shows up, and the only guy who can send him back is dead, or can give Oz back his powers is dead, and so Oz ends up taking Skeeve on as his apprentice, and it's about his adventures and Skeeve growing up and learning magic.
And Oz trying to get back home.
Great series. There's probably, 12, 13 of them?
I think I got through four.
Really?
Before I decided that reading was for chumps.
Yeah. No, I read the whole series. And up until the newer stuff started coming out. Mm-hmm. But loved it. Great series of books. I just kind of that series gave me a new outlook on things when I was growing up.
Yep.
So, I don't know. The Myth Adventure series. I haven't really checked Audible to see if they're actually out there or not, but if they are, maybe next week we'll play a snippet of one if there is one.
That would be cool. Mm-hmm.
But thanks again to Audible for sponsoring us. Another sponsor on our website, anyway, at canmanshow.com in the show notes. Last week you had mentioned the Tauntaun sleeping bag goes along back to Empire, which we all mentioned before that it was the April Fool's joke that ended up getting made into a real product.
Yep.
That'll be this week's item of the week on the website. So if you go and check out the show notes for this episode, there'll be a link to the Tauntaun sleeping bag complete with a photograph and stuff. And if you purchase it through that link, we get a little percentage of it. So,
a little taste.
That helps keep us on the air. And same with the Audible thing. You don't even have to buy anything with Audible. Just try it. And that helps keep us on the internets.
We bought Lori an iTouch, so she'll probably go out to Audible.
Yeah, please do.
Yes.
Any time that you guys do that, you get a free download, which is like a $30 value in most cases. And with the ThinkGeek.com thing, they have such awesome products. And just by purchasing it through the website keeps us on the air.
You know what I really want from ThinkGeek is the brownie pan that makes all edges.
Yeah. They got a lasagna pan like that now, too.
Do they really?
Yes, they do.
I seriously want
I know.
See, but my wife does like the middle.
Which you would
she
think
prefers the middle
brownie. Pan could be used.
Well, then she
you
can make
think,
her own.
But
that's right.
I love you, Chris.
I don't know. It would cost. You'd have to do a lot of noodle cutting to.
It'd be worth it, though.
Yes. Not true. No argument there.
I mean, they have some amazing stuff out there, but the brownie pan. I mean, of all the high-tech little toys and stuff they have, actually, they have a desk Zamboni that will drive around and vacuum your desk.
Sweet.
Nice.
Which I actually posted a link on my Facebook wall 2 or 3 weeks back.
I bought the Cylon Snowman once. That was
really?
Pretty cool. Yeah, it's a USB-powered snowman, and it has a Cylon
eye.
Bounces back and forth, and it makes the noise.
Nice.
What I want is they have this, they call it the Matrix Cube Clock.
Mm-hmm.
It's three cubes, and on the front of the cube is two digits, digital digits, minutes, hours, seconds. I want it for the studio because it's so neat. It's only like $35. The Matrix Cube Clock on ThinkGeek. They got so many cool things.
I like the LED for your faucets,
mm-hmm.
the hot and cold.
Oh,
so if
yeah,
it's hot,
it turns
it's red.
Colors. Yeah.
Yeah. So I keep thinking of things like that for the house now because, you know, that's good for kids.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Kids
it's a great
dumb.
Idea.
Yeah.
So
and they will do dumb things.
Yes.
I felt like a kid when I saw Iron Man the first time.
Oh.
And you pointed out last night to me that Iron Man 2 opens up this week.
Yes, it
does. I had no idea it was coming this soon.
Yeah, May 7th.
I thought it was going to be like June or July.
I know.
So make sure that you go check that out. And the reviews that I've heard,
mm-hmm.
spectacular.
Yep. Well, those were the reviews for Scarlett Johansson.
We were...
Really?
Yeah, so...
We were talking about this. Nick Chase and I were talking about this just this
Who?
Last weekend. Nick Chase.
Seems to remember him.
Yeah, good guy.
Okay.
We were talking. He's like, I don't even want to see it. And I said, why not? And he goes, it's the second in a series. It's going to suck. And I was like, no. It's a comic book movie.
Right.
Spider-Man 2. Batman, the Dark Knight movie.
It's the third ones that suck.
It's the third ones that suck. The second one's always better than the first. And the first one rocked so hard that I had to change pants afterwards.
Right.
And I actually went and saw that in the theater.
And it's the same cast, except for they did not use, what's his name? For Rhodes, they end up casting Don Cheadle.
Yeah,
Mr. I Need More Money.
Yeah, Terrence was it Terrence Howard?
Terrence Howard.
That, Terrence
I, which I thought was a great actor, and it's not the money.
Oh,
thing.
I liked him. Yeah.
It wasn't the money thing.
Oh, it wasn't.
No, it's just they wanted Don Cheadle to play the role
Don
originally.
Cheadle,
really?
Yeah, I don't like him as
that's,
much.
Really?
I
do.
That's really stupid.
But
I mean,
he's going to be War Machine.
There's the continuity thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care for them changing it. They say he's the same, but he's not the same.
No.
It's kind of their way of saying that all black people look alike. And let's face it, we don't. Okay?
Yeah, you don't.
Wait, what?
All you white people look alike.
And it does. The change in the actors in that, because he didn't have that big a role in the first one. So to me, it's.
No.
It doesn't. To me, it doesn't matter.
I'll ask your wife, though, because she'll know the important thing.
Go ahead.
You're the whitest black guy I've ever met, Corey.
I know, but check out the hair.
You look more Jewish.
And I got big feet. That's all I'm going to say about that.
You know what they say about men that have big feet, right?
Large shoes.
Yes.
Very nice.
And the socks wear out fast.
I think we were talking about Iron Man, weren't we?
But yeah, Iron Man 2 comes out this week.
Go see it.
Yes. If you guys want to do like a meetup or something.
Not unless you're willing to wait a month to see the movie.
Yeah.
I think we're going
Saturday at 10 o'clock in the morning before the theater opens.
Oh, I like going Saturday and Sunday
at 10
o'clock.
You know what? Saturday, I think I've got a rehearsal coming up, but it's not till later in the day. So I could do a Saturday morning show.
My big problem with the theaters is people. I just do not care for people.
Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock.
And they don't like me. So.
That's why I always sit on the aisle, because then I only have to deal with one people.
Corey, Sunday morning at 10 o'clock.
So if you guys would like to go to
the best time, nobody's ever there.
Yeah.
Well, I want to go Saturday morning. So this Saturday morning, 10 o'clock or whatever showtime is right around that time, if you guys would like to join us, shoot me an email, thecanmanshow@gmail.com, and we'll find a place where we can all meet, and we'll go check it out.
Are you making a crowd?
And you
yeah, let's make a crowd.
And you don't have to worry about it being in 3D this time.
I understand. But they're a crowd of fellow friends and geeks.
No,
so
yeah.
It's not. There's a difference between... Between
until you've been certified to watch a movie with me, you don't want to.
Okay.
I'm telling you this now.
Is this where the blackness comes
in? Oh, yeah.
Oh, Lord.
There's a theater in
Omaha.
Do you
not know how to shut the hell up in a theater?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
There's
I figured
a theater
not.
In Omaha that
you talk,
I went to.
You're
going to
talk
that
through
was,
the movie, huh?
It was a minority theater that was all black people that went there. And I went and saw... Oh, Jason Goes to Hell, the final Friday
mm-hmm.
there. And
that'll do well in a minority
oh,
theater.
Oh, my God. It was the best experience of my life. I mean, I was the quiet one. It was really cool.
I made the mistake of going to what was the Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker movie?
Oh, Rush Hour.
Rush Hour, yeah. And in Madison, and I got seated behind a black guy.
No, that was Sean.
And the whole movie, just... Yeah, it was an interesting experience.
Yeah, it's yeah. You don't want to see a movie with me unless you've already certified yourself with the experience. I have four friends that will voluntarily see movies with me, but they don't go to see the movie. They've already seen the movie before they take me to the
they
movie.
They just go see.
They
you.
Go to see me. I went to see 300 in the theater, and that I had to apologize to the entire theater at one point during the movie. So,
all right. So Corey won't be joining us.
No. And I won't be either because I'll be at a family baby shower.
Yeah.
I could have been seeing George Lucas.
Is that for your baby?
Yes.
Oh, well, then don't complain.
No, I could have been seeing George Lucas.
But baby showers
yeah.
are for
okay,
women.
Here in Chicago. Is it Chicago, right?
Chicago.
Field Museum.
At the Field Museum, they're doing a special showing of Empire Strikes Back for the 30th. And for $200, you can get a, no, I won't want to say private, but a reception with George Lucas with other people have paid $200.
$200?
$200.
Will he be giving Tauntaun rides during this?
Well, that kind of goes back to, because Lori and I were joking about this, and she's like, well, it's your baby. I was like, yeah, but it's George Lucas. And then the
we
whole
can always make more babies, honey. But
I was, well, that's what I was like, we can have another baby. Chicago George Lucas is never going to come around
for
again.
For $200, I'd better finish, okay? That's all I'm going to say.
Well, and then she starts quoting the robot chicken scene to me, or the
with
first
the
one.
Arr!
Yeah, where the guy meets Tauntaun, and then later on he's sitting there with this kid on his lap, and he's like, that was the best day of my life. And the kid's like, well, what about when I was born?
Not even close.
What's great is Lori can quote the whole thing. I love that. So she's the one that usually does it.
Nice. And you mentioned that the third sucks. Of the movies?
Often. The Often. Comic book movies.
X-Men 3?
X-Men 3, I never saw it because I knew it was a third.
It right. starts out really good.
Does it?
Yeah.
Well, I
about
have it.
5 minutes.
It's still in its shrink wrap.
Yeah.
Sitting on my shelf. But
so is Top Gun for me.
Really? I've still weird. Not seen it yet.
Top Gun?
All the way through.
I made the mistake of seeing that at a drive-in when I still drove a Mustang. I'm honestly surprised I made it home alive.
Nice. Well, the reason I mentioned the third thing.
Gun, I got you.
The third thing. Batman 3 release date has been released. It's coming out July 20th, 2012. So.
Oh, so they got in between.
The new,
before
the third Christopher Nolan Batman.
So it'll be the last Batman movie ever made before the end of the world?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Before good. The end of the world.
But they won't be able to win another Oscar.
Oh, did anyone see 2012, that movie?
Not yet.
No.
I really enjoyed that because it didn't have a political commentary. It didn't say, it wasn't, the end of the world wasn't caused by anything we did.
No.
Wow.
It was really good by that respect. Everything else was stupid, but it was.
Yeah. I've got that. It sitting on my TV stand at home to watch, so 2012, I'm going to have to check it out.
Yeah, I'd rather gouge my eyes out than watch it.
When asked, my children said, what's this movie about? And I said, I think John Cusack flies a plane. That's.
guy flies it like Han Solo, man.
But it was made by the guys who made Independence Day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I really enjoyed Independence Day.
Yeah.
But then I watched...
You know...
No, it's not. I'm sorry. Never mind.
No, it's also... I think also the guy that made Godzilla, the remake of Godzilla.
Oh, that wasn't awful.
Yeah.
That was monster was cool.
Matthew Broderick's best film ever.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I was John Cryer. No, never mind.
That's one of my guilty pleasures.
What's that?
The Godzilla remake.
It is one of your guilty pleasures,
yes,
really?
I will pull that out of the DVD rack and watch it.
The very best part of it was the French Special Forces.
Yes.
That was my favorite part.
Because and they didn't even surrender.
Until I saw that part, I just think Special Forces, but as it turns out, they do.
It's got the guy who played Leon in the...
Yep, he's good. I like him.
They got stopped by that Border Patrol guy. Yeah. And they're all from the South, because that's the only accent they
can do. Nice. I don't know. Do you have a guilty pleasure movie?
Yeah.
What is it?
I'm not telling.
Ice Pirates?
It has midgets in it.
Over the Rainbow?
Time Bandits.
Under the Rainbow.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Time Bandits.
Have you ever seen it?
Yeah, I have.
I love that movie.
Isn't Chevy Chase in that?
I think so.
He's like the main guy, and Carrie Fisher's in it.
It's been a long time.
And it's got the...
And it's got like every midget, little person in Hollywood at the time the movie was... It was like 70 of them.
Yeah, I haven't seen that movie in forever.
It is hilarious.
Under the Rainbow.
Yeah, Under the Rainbow.
That's your guilty pleasure movie. Do you have a guilty pleasure movie?
More of a class movies. I like Victorian movies.
Yeah?
Like Pride and Prejudice, stuff like that.
Yeah, Weekend at Bernie's.
You sure you're not the gay one?
Mom brought me up on them. Although, to redeem myself there, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, awesome book.
Really?
They're making a movie?
And there's now a prequel book to it. Yes, it is a very good book.
Sense and Sensibility and Sea Monsters?
No, it's Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, but it takes place 4 years before it, and it's how all the zombies start coming back and how the girls are trained and stuff.
Aren't there like 90% more zombies in that one than the original?
Probably, yeah.
New and improved, now 90% more zombies.
I grew up on, my mom watched a lot of those, actually read some of the books, and then Lori loves them, so, you know.
So it's one of those movies that when you're feeling down, you...
Yeah. Well, hey, I mean, come on. Look at the dresses the women wear.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why I go to Renfrews.
Oh, yeah. Cleavage.
Cleavage,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Cleavage is good.
Yep. You know, I'm really more of a bottom guy.
All right. Had a pie.
I don't know why I had so much trouble saying that. I was thinking upper deck, and I was like, okay, how do I say lower deck? Oh, wait, I guess I just did.
Nice. I don't know. I
how about you?
I can't think of a guilty pleasure movie that I have to watch. I just watch so many different movies.
Something that I will watch alone. Something that I don't want to share with other people because I don't want
to. They would have to be,
watching.
For me, it would be Count of Monte Cristo, the most recent release.
That's a good movie.
It's just nobody watches it with me. I mean, it's just one that I just, you know.
I like a sidekick in that movie.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I like the actor. I don't know his name. He's one of those character actors.
Luz Guzman.
Yeah. Yeah, I like him.
Luz Guzman, I think.
I think he's on a TV show.
He's on
like
a
cop show now.
He's on everything, man. Yeah. But he is a good actor. I just watched Yes Man, and the scene with Jim Carrey where Luz Guzman was going to jump out the window.
I actually think that is of recent one of his best movies he's made.
It was great.
Quite good.
I think Jim Carrey's gone off the deep end lately, though.
Well, he broke up with Jenny McCarthy.
They broke up.
Oh.
Yeah. And now he's texting everybody. Twittering. He's Twittering.
He showed up on Conan dressed
Wait, is he tweeting or is he Twittering? Because
I don't know.
In Hollywood, those are two different things, yeah. Right?
I don't know.
I think they're pretty much the same thing, aren't they?
No. No. One requires nudity. One just requires a cell phone.
Okay.
I'm lost.
But anyway, when Luz Guzman was going to jump out the window, one of the things he taught himself because he said yes to it was learning to play the guitar.
Yep.
And then he does Third Eye Blind's Jumper.
The only song he knows.
Yeah.
Wish you would step back from that ledge, my friend.
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
That was pretty good.
I love that. That was hilarious.
I love it when he gets to the part he can't remember the words, so the crowd below sings.
It was just genius.
That was really cool.
Yeah.
So, Yes Man. Check that one out, too. Good. I suppose other than that, like if I was to go back and think of like a guilty pleasure movie, I kind of like the Titanic movie.
You're like a ninja, dude.
That is
you
a really
just
good
appear.
Movie.
You know, You're right.
Is that a guilty pleasure or a gay pleasure?
No, that's a guilty pleasure.
Guilty pleasure.
But see, it's guilty because you could be accused of being gay because I don't
watch it. I
can't believe they all died. Leo.
If you enjoy when the guy hits the propeller blade in the second half of the movie,
oh yeah,
then it's not a gay pleasure.
No, I enjoy the looking at boobies.
See, now he watches it for Kate. I watch it for Leo.
I like Leo.
I like Leo too. Yesterday I watched two movies. Two movies with Leo.
Yeah.
What do you have in your deck there that'll deal with that?
I watched for the first time yesterday. I watched The Departed.
Oh, excellent movie!
My God, that movie was awesome.
Is that the one with Jack Nicholson?
Liked it?
I did. I liked it. I was I kind of disappointed at the ending, but at the same time, I wasn't.
Yeah,
is that with Nicholson?
That was with Nicholson, Matt Damon, and Leo.
Matt Damon.
So Dan has
Mark
joined
Wahlberg.
Us again. Dan, while you're
Mark
here,
Mark Wahlberg's awesome,
and they're making a sequel to it with Mark Wahlberg.
Supposedly,
Dan, while you're here, why don't you tell us your guilty pleasure movie?
It is Under the Cherry Moon.
Under the Cherry Moon.
Yes.
Is that a Prince movie?
Yes.
Oh, I was
guessing.
I was going to say porn.
Isn't that synonymous?
Yeah,
that sounds like a prison movie to me.
That's what jumped out at me, too.
What most people don't realize is that that was the theatrical debut of Kristen Scott Thomas.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, and she's such a good actor.
So her and Prince, those were the only names in that movie. Everybody else was
Under the Cherry
somebody
Moon.
From France or some random nobody.
Paul. Who directed it? Prince?
No.
It was Morris Day
in
the time
the
in that movie. No, Prince that was maybe they were.
It was written by Prince. No, there is no appearance by Morris Day.
That must be Purple Rain.
That is Purple Rain and Graffiti Bridge.
Morris Day was in Graffiti Bridge too?
Yeah, it was basically...
I didn't watch Graffiti Bridge.
They were artistic rivals, but they actually kind of liked each other.
Graffiti Bridge was Purple Rain too.
Nice.
But it was really bad.
Nice.
And granted, the acting in Purple Rain is pretty bad too, but if you're watching for Apollonia's breasticles and Prince's songs, then you're set.
Nice. I don't know, man. I just have a tough time getting into Prince's movies. Seriously.
Everybody does.
All right.
But I'm such a big Prince fan that it doesn't really matter.
And thus guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, Lori said she was listening to Kevin Smith's like a night with Kevin Smith, and he's
talking about Prince.
Yeah, doing the documentary with
where
Prince.
Prince is in Prince Land and wants a camel the next day.
And then he's like, I want the movie. And it's never seen the light of day.
Nope, and probably never will.
Nope.
Crazy.
We watched that 4 years ago or so, and all the way through it, I'm just like, oh my God, that's Kevin. Seriously.
Kevin Kappas?
Yeah. At the time, that's how Kevin was talking. He looked like him.
The moves, the mannerisms.
Yes, it was all the way through. Lori and I are sitting there going, oh my God, that's Kevin.
The first time I met Ryan, the first time we went over to his house, we were going over for a party, a gathering, and someone said, no, we got to wait until Kevin gets here. And I was like, oh, okay, someone else is coming. Great, I get to meet new people. Kevin Kappas walks in, and I'm immediately enthralled, thinking that these people knew Kevin Smith. I had no idea.
Wow. I guess I've never seen that.
So as soon as he walks in, I immediately think to myself, don't make an ass out of yourself. Yeah. Don't do what you want to do.
And then later on, you found out the truth, and you proceeded to fart on him.
I did.
Yes, you did.
You farted on Kevin?
Oh, no, he just let it go. And
I fought in your general direction.
It was a game scene.
Nice.
Because he wasn't gay.
Yeah.
All right.
Kevin had this character, yeah.
I understand. Oh. Yeah. I understand. So,
thank you.
Well, speaking of Kevin, when Kevin and I went to the Londoner.
The pin at the Ken show.
So. There's our new theme song right there.
So when Kevin and I
it's
went
like
to.
Dropping
the
soap in prison.
We went to the.
That's where I.
Am I going to have to look at you guys? Kevin and I went to the Londoner, the restaurant, you know.
Again?
Yep. Well, we went the first time, and,
yeah.
You know, we didn't give it the most rave review. Well, for lunch last week or the week before. Well, I don't know, probably. For lunch last week or the week before, Chris and I went and tried it out again. And totally different experience. Way awesome. We had... Well, the waitress was very nice. I'm not going to comment on her looks, but, I mean, she was very nice, very friendly. Recommended the steak and ale pie, which I tried, and it was fantastic. I wish I wasn't at lunch for work. Otherwise, I would have had a pint of Guinness to go with it. It would have just complimented it so nicely. And then...
Since you work from home, how would they know?
I would know. And I would feel guilty.
They would know.
Yeah.
And when you start doing that, then it just goes downhill from there.
Right. Right. So,
okay.
So for dessert, though.
They're listening.
If you're going, if you go there just for dessert, it would be worth it. I recommend their chocolate sponge cake dessert with vanilla custard topping. Oh, my God.
I'm trying to wrap
it
my
was
brain around that.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Is it better than the Double Down?
Better than the Double Down.
I think everything's better than the Double
Down. But the chocolate sponge cake with the vanilla custard topping was very good.
In your stomach.
Very good. So
Herb
the Londoner,
there for hours.
Way good.
I still don't think it's bad.
Way good. So.
You know, my daughter went there and had she chickened out and ate American.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, I was like, well, I mean, how was the American? She really liked it.
It's
well,
like it's going to a sushi exactly... house and ordering a hamburger.
That's what I
not
would
that
do.
You yeah. could.
Not a big seafood guy, so I just go there and have the rice.
But they it's have not chicken. Exactly cheap ethnic bacon. In the way that like Thai food is ethnic.
True.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. They're... But if you see bangers and mash on a menu, you may not know what it's going to be.
Right.
But for the most part, they use the same ingredients that you would find in a regular American kitchen.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. For the most part.
I make my own Chinese food, and I use peppers and onions and meat and a little bit of cornstarch.
A little bit of MSG.
Oh, I don't use MSG.
MSG.
I actually just pee in it a little bit. Same effect.
Nice.
Going to another restaurant that we like.
Yeah.
The day for your birthday party at the
Dublin City.
I don't remember what it was called, but and I haven't had great luck at Dublin City, but I've been trying different things than I normally do, so it's not their fault. It's just not to my taste. But I had this sandwich, and it was sliced ham like you would get like for Easter, you know, thick sliced ham
on a sandwich.
Yeah, not like deli meat. Warmed up or warm, and then with pulled pork, no barbecue sauce on it. Provolone cheese, pickle, and I think some mayo. Oh, my God.
Oh, I've had that. What
that
do they call
is,
that?
I don't know.
Because it is really, really good.
If you go to Dublin City, look through the menu, it's, oh.
Yes,
that
I
good,
will
huh?
second
yes.
that recommendation.
So it's a thick cut ham,
yep.
pulled pork,
provolone,
and a pickle.
Yes.
Yep. You
with
get
mayonnaise.
Like the saltiness from the ham and then the pulled pork. Oh, yeah.
Really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the cheese just sort of wraps it all together.
Yes.
Yes.
Probably the best sandwich I've ever had.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I had a really good lunch this week. Thursday, I had to go down to the office in North Liberty, and while we were down there, I went out to lunch. And we went to Iguanas Cafe in North Liberty. It's right on 965 in a little strip mall there. Right next to it's like a Chinese buffet. But I'd been to Iguanas before and was not too impressed. Now they have this lunch buffet, $4.75 between 11 and noon. If you go between 11 and noon, $4.75. With that, they had... regular taco meat, chicken taco meat, quesadillas, regular full salad bar, chips and salsa, the whole shebang. Delicious. Their chicken taco meat was phenomenal. Beans and everything.
They have fish taco meat there?
I didn't see fish taco
meat. I like fish tacos.
I love fish tacos.
Yeah.
But it sounds like a joke, but I really
do. I didn't think I would either, but I do.
How does Corey feel about fish tacos?
I'm a big fan.
My grandfather has a hat. Okay, he's what, 72? Has a hat that said, If God didn't mean
for
turkey to be eaten, why did he make it shaped like a taco?
Exactly. Okay, nice. We were talking
that
during
comes
the break.
From the gay guy.
Ryan asked Oz a question, and I feel like we should go around the table and give our answer to this question.
Oh yeah.
If I were to swing the other way, I would probably kiss John Cusack because I love that guy. He's awesome.
You'd kiss John Cusack.
Oh yeah, right on the lips, full tongue,
if,
the whole
if,
bit.
If you were going to get turned to the other side,
it'd meaning, have to be John Cusack.
Meaning going gay instead of straight.
It wouldn't see for me. If it wouldn't be looks. It'd be personality. And
nice.
I love the guy.
But he would drive you. He would drive you nuts with his politics.
Oh no! Give me 5 minutes. That's all I need. I don't need politics. I don't really care
about
that.
John Cusack would be yours. So if you were to go straight, what would be your? Who?
If I were to go straight, it would be for one girl, and that would be Elizabeth.
Elizabeth Caraway.
Yes.
Oh wow.
Oh yeah.
Okay, I could see that.
If I was to go straight, it'd be for Elizabeth too.
I'm not setting her up as one of my Christmas morning girls, but she's definitely
seriously because she is exactly like me, only female.
Wow,
you know what a Christmas morning girl is?
Except for she's got
yes,
it's a girl that's so hot that I'd leave my whole family for her.
Yeah, she's pretty cute. But you know what? My wife is awesome too.
think they're waiting.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah. Jump to me.
Oh, yeah. This has nothing to do with
who would you go gay for?
Daniel Craig.
Daniel Craig, wow. Really?
Oh, yeah, I get that.
Wow.
Mr. Bond himself.
He's British.
You like it rough, then.
So, you know, he probably would go that way anyway.
Really?
Well, most British guys do, according to the
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, they all do.
Yeah.
It's like a thing. That
they're like omnisexual.
It's one of those British things that nobody talks about, but everybody knows goes on.
What's that?
You know,
I'm sorry, I missed that.
A lot of buggery.
Ah. Yeah.
Tomfoolery. Yeah, I'm back up to my tomfoolery, so you guys.
Okay,
is
and
that
then,
how
I
would define buggery?
Ryan, who's your guy?
Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt, really?
Yeah, I'm going to go for the pretty one. Yeah, it's just something about Brad Pitt.
Scruffy beard.
I can't.
Shaggy hair.
Fight Club.
Angelina standing behind you, tapping
her
toe, saying,
"Get
out of my way."
I don't.
I'm sorry, guys. I just don't have one.
Angelina scares
me.
We all know
one.
That's not true.
All right, Peter Krause.
There you go.
Peter Krause from Six Feet Under.
Oh, yeah, Parenthood. I can see that.
Yeah the almost blonde guy, Sandy.
Yeah,
yeah, I know you. Don't.
Yeah, yeah. He was.
Angelina
the...
scares me.
Really?
Yeah.
Angelina Jolie.
You know, I'm going to go ahead and quote Family Guy. Mm-hmm. I would do everything to her. I would wreck that girl.
See.
Wow. You know,
I used to like her.
She looked,
I don't know,
really,
something she changed.
She was awesome.
You know what it was? For, now,
wanted.
Keep in mind that I don't want to have sex with her, but when I started thinking she was a little outside the mainstream, even by Hollywood standards, was the whole Vial of Blood thing.
Yeah.
Oh.
When she and Billy Bob wore vials of each other's blood, that's sort of when I went, no.
But see, I found
her
attractive back then.
Of,
I mean,
of mine
aside from the Vial of Blood, physically I found her attractive back then. Now there's something about, I don't know.
It may be the whorishness of her.
The what?
Whorishness.
Yeah.
She's a bit of a whore.
I think it's the lips.
She has
whore
lips.
They get slightly larger. I don't know if she's losing weight so her face gets skinnier or if she's just having too much collagen.
Something.
But
doesn't collagen
way,
wear off?
But
Kate
So they have to do it over and over and over again on her.
But Kate Beckinsale. See, I'd go for Brad Pitt and then I'd come back for Kate.
Okay.
Especially,
I can tell.
Yeah. Especially in the Underworld movies.
You know.
Yeah, absolutely. I liked her in Pearl Harbor.
I thought she was
when
she was
Pearl
great
Harbor,
in Fido.
No, I mean just the way she looked in Pearl Harbor was just
You haven't seen
movie?
Fido? Yeah. Yeah,
she
was the mom.
In Fido?
Kate Beckinsale is the mom in Fido.
Are you kidding
really?
Me?
Not kidding you.
I'm gonna have to watch
it. It totally blew my mind when my daughter pointed it out. She goes, "Hey, Dad, that's Underworld Girl."
I completely missed that.
It's in my Netflix queue and has been forever. Yeah.
Haven't seen it? Oh, it's great.
It's like Lassie, but instead of dogs, it's zombies.
Yeah.
No,
Kevin,
if Lassie occasionally ripped people's throats out.
Nice.
Oh, I could see Lassie do that.
Yeah.
Somebody messed with Timmy? Oh, yeah, Lassie'd take him down.
As far as, though,
I think the little boy's
girls,
name is actually Timmy.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, in the
Halle Berry.
Halle Berry? Oh, yeah,
oh,
totally.
No. Well,
I could see Halle Berry.
Pre-Oscar?
Yeah, pre-Oscar Halle Berry.
Like Swordfish
Josephine Baker?
Yes.
Who?
She played Josephine Baker.
Oh. Yeah.
In that was HBO Showtime movie or whatever. But crazy.
The weird thing is, I'm not really interested in any of the Hollywood women that I've seen naked. It's the ones that I haven't seen naked. I don't know what that is.
Well, you know.
Less is more.
Yeah.
I have a vivid imagination.
Yeah.
Doing what I do, you have to. Yeah.
And what do you do exactly?
Writing a game.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say nothing.
Oh, wow. Oh, that was harsh.
My
it's
dick
like
hurts
the
now.
People that quit their jobs on Wall Street to write the great American novel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Except I didn't quit. I was fired.
Oh.
And then I started my own business and was fired again. Now, that's impressive.
Wow.
That is
you
got
to really want it.
Yeah. So we could fire you right now. You can just get up and leave.
You absolutely could fire me.
I don't think we will, though.
I take it really well now.
You're getting better.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. I know how to file for
I love you, Corey.
It's
which
not you,
reminds
Corey.
Me.
I love you, Corey. Yeah. All right. So anything else you guys need to talk about today? I do need to talk about one other thing before I forget. Movement Dance Company, which is LD Kid and company, are holding auditions Sunday, June 6th for kids to be part of the new dance company, ages 10 to 13 on Sunday, June 6th from 2 to 3:30 for kids 10 to 13. Juniors, which would be ages 14 through 17, would be from 4 to 5:30. Adult, which would be 18 plus, from 6 to 7:30. If you would like to audition to be part of Movement Dance Company, give LD a call at 319-899-1656. He would love to have you come down and audition because I know they're looking for some pretty awesome new dancers.
Last week, Lori and I took a class at St. Luke's.
So you're
and
like,
I've seen things that I should never have seen on video. Yeah.
Oh, you got
like birthing of babies.
Yeah.
Oh.
Scarred for life.
I've actually delivered a baby.
Really?
When I was an EMT.
Cool.
It was fun.
I heard this said by someone on the Bob and Tom show, which is a show that we don't play. every porn movie should end with Hiya Pasha Lee giving birth to triplets.
Who?
Hiya Pasha Lee? She's a porn star.
All right, good.
Like Seven Shades of Hot. Well, she was. Now she's 30, so.
Wasn't she an 80s, 70s porn star?
90s.
I think
I was
going to
say 80s and 70s, and if she's only 30, that would be just really wrong.
That's about right. Yeah, Tracy Lords is only 40 now.
Yeah, there's a big difference between 40 and 30.
Well, she started when she was 14.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Yeah, she did.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like illegal to own like her early stuff.
Or download.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't download.
You get caught or something?
No, not at all. All right.
But it's
I can't get caught. I'm too good.
Okay.
But it's okay for school administrators to take pictures off of kids' laptops.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Lord. That is crazy.
Yeah.
That whole Upper Merion thing.
Upper Merion?
What?
Have you not heard of this story?
No, I was talking about out in Philadelphia. Or
yeah, the
Pennsylvania.
Upper Merion School District is the name of the district.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought you were talking about Merion here.
No, like,
no, there's only the one Merion, then there's Linmar.
Yeah.
If it happened there,
no,
you would have.
That whole thing is crazy. And they've gone from. The cameras were only activated a handful of times to
50,000 pictures.
We found 18,000 pictures to we found 26,000 pictures to we found 49,000 pictures.
Wow.
Somebody's going to jail for a while.
Oh, my God. I can't even believe that.
They
were talking.
What they were doing was they were activating the internet webcam on the laptops for their students and spying on the kids at home through through the webcam.
And so initially when this came out, they said, no, this can't be right. We only use that to recover stolen laptops. But here is how this whole thing came to light. For those people that are listening that don't know, they suspended a student for 3 days for, it was something like taking drugs. I think they said taking a banned substance while at home.
Yeah.
Okay, the only way, first of all, it was Skittles.
Yeah.
Real Skittles,
not the street name Skittles.
Right, not the street name Skittles, but actual candy that the student was eating in front of his laptop. And the only way they could have known what he was doing at home is if they were watching his webcam. And so the parents, the next day, I think, turned around and sued the school district. And now it's come out that this has happened, 49,000 times.
There's 49,000 pictures they took from webcams from their students.
Yes,
cameras
and they've got
in the bedrooms.
Pictures. One of the lawyers, I was reading an article last week, one of the lawyers for the defendants.
And the defendants being?
No, not the defendants.
The kids
or the
parents?
For the
or
kids.
The parents? Okay.
One of the lawyers for the families has seen a subsection of these pictures, and we're talking kids shirtless in their rooms changing. You know, I mean, I remember when I used to do homework in my bedroom. If it was hot, I'd take my shirt off and sit in front of my computer or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're not necessarily salacious pictures, but you're still taking half-naked pictures of underage kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, Lord knows how many pervs work for the schools. How many times a year are teachers busted for dating students?
It only takes one.
Yeah.
I mean, and this is the richest school district in Pennsylvania.
Nice.
And
it's about to become the poorest.
Yeah, they're going down.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is a very clear-cut case of
when they're done,
the
they'll have a janitor, two teachers, and a guy that sits in the front desk in the office, not really certified to be a secretary or a principal, but he'll answer the phone.
Some families are getting a tax rebate, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
because this is crazy.
Now, speaking of crazy legal things, do you hear it about the whole iPhone fourth-generation iPhone.
Real quick,
I want to get a little conspiratorial, though.
Yeah.
I mean, okay.
Promise?
Conspiratorial on what?
On the camera thing?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, think about it, though. The school had the app or the ability to take pictures and stuff like that. Everybody's got a camera in their laptop now.
Right.
I'm not saying anything, but you don't always know what's on your laptop.
I actually don't. We don't have any cameras in my house. So.
But you know what I mean.
So if you're listening and you're afraid of this, the easiest thing you can do is just put a piece of scotch tape over it.
Yeah, or I could give you a website that you can go to check to see if your camera's been activated, but I'm not going to.
Okay, thanks, Corey. Because Corey's the one who activated it.
Yes, sir.
Talk about Salacious Picture. Go to CoreySalaciousPictures.com.
I went to SideBoob.com.
I have stories. I'm not going to tell them.
You don't
now.
Have anything
I'll tell
on
them
there?
Next week no. because oh, okay. they're good no. stories.
Is it just a link farm or is it just a. You still own that, right? SideBoobHour?
Yeah.
Dot com.
So I
you should,
do.
You should put a redirect to the Kamen Show.
SideBoobHour.com.
SideBoobHour.
Okay, so you remember the Family Guy episode PTV yep. where he starts his own TV station?
I haven't watched it.
So here's the backstory. Thing. Peter starts his own TV station.
That's my
Because they've censored, the FCC censored the Dick Van Dyke Show or something. So it's like the Beep Van Beep Show, nice. Right? Okay, so Peter starts his own TV station, and Quagmire hosts a jazz show, naked. And they've got a whole bunch of, they've got a whole bunch of weird, stupid shows. Well, one of the shows is called the Side Boob Hour, which is when you look at the side of a boob, right? Yeah. So Peter shows a whole bunch of side boobs on the screen, and he's like, look at this side boob. Does that turn you on?
Ooh, you
look
shouldn't.
At the, ooh, look at this side boob. And then he goes, oh, look at this side boob. Does that turn you on? Well, it shouldn't because it's my side boob. It zooms out. It's like the side of Peter's chest.
The nice. Side boob hour.
And Lois, that is the best reaction. I laugh every time I see that episode, and I've seen it like 100 times.
That
is when Lois decides Peter has stepped over the line, is the side boob hour. Not Quagmire naked or any of this other stuff, but the side boob hour.
Oh, nice.
So oh, they do an awesome song and dance at that point, too.
Screw the freaking FCC.
Yeah.
Yep. So I registered the domain sideboobhour.com.
Nice.
And I've owned it for like 3 years now.
You should redirect it to the KMNShow.com.
And I will think about that. I should, because I'm not doing anything with it right
now. There's nothing with it going on.
Yep. I own like 17 random domain names.
Really?
Like, I own tacotosis.com. Look it up in Urban Dictionary.
Schlort.com?
I'm not sure. I should look.
Because that was a term that you and Amy and we were talking, what's if it's not long, it's a schlong.
If it's long, it's a schlong. If it's a short, it's a schlort.
Right.
Yeah. So we were trying to come up with a better way to tell a woman you have a stinky vagina. So we came up with tacotosis, right? Because if you have bad breath, it's halitosis, right?
Yep.
If you have a stinky vagina, it's tacotosis.
Oh, that's
so
good.
So I own tacotosis.com. I own, for some reason, I was in my GoDaddy account the other day, and I own restlessspleensyndrome.com. I have no idea where that came from, but I registered it, and I own it.
Restless spleen syndrome.
I can't sleep.
My spleen. God damn.
Just see the thing.
He's not making this up. He really does own these domains.
That's awesome. I should get a list and bring it to the
show. Speaking of domains, if you go to my website, thekmanshow.com, and click on the GoDaddy link, you could save some money. By registering your domain name or whatever.
Or any other name, apparently.
Through GoDaddy.
You know,
so
if you go to
click on that link on the website and you can do it. That's another way you can help support the show. Go ahead.
So we were at, speaking of websites that you should probably not visit, which we already have on the Can Man Show, I was at a birthday party. Matt Reardon, do you know Matt?
The name sounds familiar.
From The Haunt.
Yeah.
Tall, skinny kid.
Yeah, Menards.
And they decided that they were going to go on chat roulette. There were like 20 girls packed in this room, and they were all on chat roulette. And I was sitting in the living room, and we were watching Girls Gone Wild, incidentally, which is the stupidest thing I have ever seen in my life.
Yeah, you would
make
think
some money.
Yeah, but anyway, so they're on chat roulette, and every time...
you would think that. I'm sorry, I'm calling
no,
it like
seriously,
I see it.
I mean, I have seen a lot of porn.
He said it was the stupidest thing I've ever seen. I said, yeah, you would think
no, that. But I mean, I've seen a lot of porn, and even after that, it's stupid. It's absolutely stupid. Anyway, so they were on chat roulette, and they'd holler whenever a penis came on the screen and say, come in here.
So they were screaming all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so pretty much every 5 minutes.
What was it, Ty?
So I told them.
Masturbation rush hour?
Yeah. So I told them that an even better site to go on is Meat Spin.
Oh, God.
So 20 girls packed into Matt Reardon's
Do not
bedroom,
go to MeatSpin.com.
To Meat Spin.
They'd never been to MeatSpin.com
no.
before? Oh, my God.
Oh. And one of them, the first thing she said, and this made me think of the show we did, the first thing one of them said is, oh, my God, look at the tan lines.
Parents, do not let your kids go to meatspin.com. Yes. Yeah.
Or grow up to be cowboys.
That yeah. too. Oh, Lord.
Because I think it was a cowboy in that video.
Actually, it reminded me of, not Borat, but what's the other movie?
Whatever. The other.
Sacha oh, Bruno.
Bear, yeah, Bruno.
Yeah.
Because it pretty much the scene out of Bruno there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which we got to see that up on the projector one day. Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah. Nice.
So, Kevin brought it over and we were watching it downstairs
so
on the projector.
If you're
yeah,
looking
for... he saw
for...
it in the theater, so he wanted to see it again?
He wanted... We said, Kevin, bring a movie over for, I think it was Christmas or New Year's or something.
Oh, okay. I thought he saw it in the theater with Tracy.
Well, I think he did. But then he brought it over for everybody. And he likes it. He thought it was funny. And there's parts in it that are pretty funny.
He just wanted to see Bruno's junk.
But, yeah, then all of a sudden there's like, I'm like, oh, my God.
Nice.
I didn't see enough of this and watch
it. So if you're looking for a great way to crash a birthday party, get 20 screaming girls in a room and go to Meat Spin and leave. Because by the time that animated GIF loads, I was like outside the apartment.
They're like Lemon Party too, or something like
no,
that.
No,
wrong with you?
Stop it.
These are Humphrey. Humphrey's
no,
trying
no,
to get me
this
to go
is
to
you.
The
you. You're saying
no.
it. On the show, you're saying it out loud right now.
Humphrey's trying to
I mean,
get me to go
I mean,
there.
Goatee.com. Go there. No. What the hell is wrong with you? I'm going to.
You can
okay, begot
this.
All these.
That's fine. I've never been to either one of those.
Don't worry, though. I'll go to the website and leave them all in a comment.
Because Brian got us to go to Meat Spin, and after that, I said, all right, no more. You're not anything you tell me to go to. I'm not doing it.
No.
Because Brian is evil. He looks evil.
Yeah.
Brian Humphrey looks evil.
He really
evil.
Does a little bit.
Yes, he looks like, and he's proud of it. He
Even
looks
when
like
he smiles. He looks like smiles the, down. You ever smiled down?
He looks
Tilt
like
your head down.
Oh,
smile.
Yeah.
He looks like a serial killer. That's Brian.
The guy from Full Metal Jacket that goes nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joker.
Yeah.
No, not Joker.
No, it wasn't Joker. It was a
Private
Pyle.
Yeah, Private Pyle. And he's proud of that.
Scary.
Yes.
Well, oh, I could tell you stories about Brian and I growing up. We've been friends since we were like 12. So, I mean.
25 years.
Yeah, a very long time.
See that math.
Yeah. Wow.
Whoa.
And Brian, he's also the master of the guilt trip, even more so than my own mother. I mean, the guy can make you feel guilty for anything. One time, okay, we're out in the woods. He had a fort in the woods.
Burying
somewhere.
A body.
Not burying a body, but we were out there with BB guns, and
watching
a little field mouse comes up.
Meat spin.
And I shoot it, okay? And I killed the field mouse, okay? I didn't mean to kill the field mouse, but
I shot it, and
it died.
I don't believe
Well,
and so
that seems like a logical sequence.
Look what you did,
years,
look what
look
you
what
did
Chad.
Chad.
You murderer.
Murderer.
Murderer. For years. Years. And I felt so guilty for killing that poor little mouse. You know, it could have been a mom. It could have been Mrs. Grisby on the way to feed her kids. bring medicine to the...
Did it have a kerchief?
That was a
then
secret
it probably
him,
wasn't.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of
secret
them
mice. Good movie.
Mrs. Grisby and the Rats and Him.
Yeah.
Was
I kind of doubt it.
I love that.
Read that in fourth grade.
Also a cartoon.
Yeah. Secret
Jonathan.
Him.
Yeah, it was
yeah.
the
Jonathan
hero.
Brisby was the her husband who
no,
died previously.
What's the hero one?
The hero Justin the Crow?
Just no, not Justin.
No, not Justin.
There's a I don't know if he was a
Nicodemus,
mouse or a rat.
Mr. Ages.
I don't know.
Watership Down. Are we just naming random crap now?
No, those are characters in the story.
Oh.
Well, since we're on kids' movies real quick, if you haven't seen it, go see How to Tame Your Dragon.
You couldn't even think of the title.
I'm excited. I haven't been on the show in a while.
All right.
Sorry.
Oh!
Not that excited.
Not that way. But no, if you haven't seen it, if you got kids, go take
Actually,
them
I
want
to do. I want to do Robot Phone Sex Minute.
That'd be cool.
Not wow. going to happen.
I don't even know how I would start.
Yeah.
Well, it's sort of a tab A and a slot B sort of thing.
Well, you know.
Yeah,
I've got the tab and a slot.
No, we'll do robot phone sex minute next week on episode 86 of the show. But we've been recording for an hour and a half, guys.
Yeah, so there's just a couple of more things that we need to send out a shout out to Trixie360.
Oh yeah.
From Microsoft. If you listened to the show last week, you'll know that she is one of the people who maintain Xbox Live. She's hilarious, and I sent her a link to the show last week, and she listened to it.
Seriously?
Yeah. Yes, she did.
Cool.
Now, here's the deal.
And
so we're talking about
Lollipop.
Yeah, Laura Lollipop. So we're talking about, these are their Xbox Live names, by the way, okay? So we're talking about this last week, and I said, oh, follow Trixie, she's really funny. And then we got to talking about Major Nelson's podcast, and Laura Lollipop came up because she's one of the regular contributors. Trixie fills in sometimes, but Laura's one of the regular contributors. And Dan goes, are those porn names?
Right.
So when she tweeted me back after I sent her the link to the show, she said the best part was when my co-host asked if those were their porn names.
I'm going to find out what this is all about.
So
it's Dan-tastic.
Dan, last week when we were talking about the Xbox folks that I follow on Twitter,
right,
and Trixie360,
yep,
remember Trixie came
yep
up? And I sent a link to the show to her, and she listened to it. And she said the best part was when you asked whether Trixie360 and Laura Lollipop were porn names.
Yeah, I saw the
so
tweet.
So you are now famous at Xbox headquarters as the guy who thinks Trixie360 is a porn star. Oh,
well, if you think about it, 360, that's around
and
the
I
world,
want to say thank
it
you to Corey kinda, yeah, for hooking up with whoever you hooked up with at Zune
that is,
to get us in the right category.
I've got his name
was
right
it,
here. Rob Greenlee, who is the Zune podcast manager,
nice,
who fixed the show, put us in the right category. Thank you, Rob.
You know, Rob, it would be awesome if you could make us a featured podcast too.
Yes,
because you know,
be
of the thousands of downloads we've had, only 260 of them have come from Zune in the entire year, 2 years we've been doing this show. So I would love it if the Zune listeners would, you know, find a show.
Do you embed your picture in the MP3?
Oh yeah,
you do.
Not in the. I mean, it's in the podcast.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And they updated that for us as well, right?
A photo of Chad or a picture for the podcast.
It's the logo.
The logo. The can.
Okay. Because I was gonna say. You know,
the red and yellow.
Photo
or
of Chad. Then maybe it's scary.
Yeah. Then our listener count from Zune's gonna go down even more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
So shout outs to thanks Trixie for listening. Thanks Laura for commenting, and thanks Rob for fixing the show.
Yes.
I'm glad that I was humorous rather than offensive.
Nice. Yes.
I'm the one that offends people.
Those
on podcasts.
Two aren't mutually exclusive. So,
and I want to send a
Rob
shout out.
Chop up Jews and put them in
the Jews.
The Jews.
What was that?
What?
You know,
you had to be there.
You had to be there.
Okay.
I want to send a big thank you to nobody. No, I want to send a big thank you to Zerby, Kevin Zerby. The Zerbinator or Zerbin Tunes or whatever. He does our theme song. And he also, with Elizabeth Caraway, as you mentioned, would be the person you'd go straight for, do the theme song for the show.
Yeah, totally.
But he will be doing the closing music again this week. He composed a new song called Iowa.
That's an awesome song.
It is very cool. And in the show notes, I'm going to include a link to the video for the song.
Which is pretty cool, too.
It is really cool. You get to see how he put it together. And how he, you know, all the instruments he played, the software he uses to mix it together and to play the drums, and little clips of him playing. And I think in there he plays the lead guitar, the bass, the mandolin.
Mandolin or ukulele, I'm not sure what that
mandolin, I think.
Yeah, I think
we'll just call it the Mandalorian.
Mandalorian.
Yeah. Then it's a porn title, a hotel name, and an instrument all in one.
Nice. But thank you, Zerby, for letting us play your music and doing our theme song for us. We really appreciate it. And then be sure to become a fan of his on Facebook, Zerbin Tunes, and become a fan of ours, The Can Man Show. And thanks to Dan for hosting us and letting us sit in here today. Mm-hmm. Thanks to the guys, the gamers here at Central Corridor Gamers.
And you all can become an Xbox buddy with me because I need some more Battlefield 2 players.
Send me a friend request.
Okay.
All right, cool. But thanks again for listening to the Can Man Show. This has been episode 85.
Thanks for listening, everybody. And remember, speed lights that are timed 435 are also timed for 70.
Cock and balls.
Thank you again for listening to The Can Man Show. Please check out our website at www.thecanmanshow.com.
Can you do that again? Can Man Show.
I can try. Let's see. I love The Can Man Show. I love The Can Man. Download it on iTunes, that'd be sweet. We need some traffic. I can't.
Wouldn't that be neat?
Wouldn't that be neat? There we go.
Bacock!
My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours. Damn right, it's better than yours. I can't teach you, but I have to charge. Goodbye, chap.
The force will be with you. Always.